Welcome to LMC Cast, Community Profile. Hi, my name is Mike Reynolds. I'm a longtime Mamaroneck resident. Over the course, I've spent many years with Larchmont Mamaroneck Little League as a fan, coach, board member. I was involved with baseball, softball programs, and coached a few travel teams. Today, I'm joined by two men who are currently leading our area youth baseball programs. Mike Dugan, who's president of LMLL. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
And John Leifert, who is the VP of softball. How are things going, John?
Weather could be better. But otherwise, all is well.
All right. I just want to get started. If you guys could tell me a little bit about yourself in terms of professional life and your attachment to baseball and LMLL. John, you're up.
Well, I retired from coaching 5 years ago when my kids aged out of our program after I coached both of them through LMLL baseball and softball for more than 10 years. I've been on the LMLL board for 7 years, the last five as the VP of softball. And in the real world, I'm a trial attorney based in White Plains.
Okay. Mike, how about you?
So I have been involved in the league for probably 7 or 8 years now. I lose track of, because I feel like I've been involved since I started coaching, which I did actually calculate was 11 years ago today. My oldest son, who's 16, his first year was kickball, back when we still had kickball. And I've been coaching him. I've three boys, 16, 14, and 9. And I've been coaching them pretty much ever since. On the rec side, I've coached travel teams and been commissioners, played many roles within the league, permit coordinator, liaison to the Village of Mamaroneck. And personal life, I'm from the Bronx. My wife actually grew up in Mamaroneck and has been here most of her life. And so we live here, and like I said, I have three kids. Varsity and freshman player for the high school team.
Okay, cool. Bronx boys, go Yanks. John, you're a Mets guy? Sorry.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay, all right. Can you guys talk a little bit about the leagues? They essentially mirror one another. Forgive me, I think T-League and minors are for pre-kindergarten kids. They're green, blue, majors divisions. There's opportunities for kids from, you know, before they get to kindergarten through elementary school and then into high school on the spring and rec side, the spring rec side. Mm-hmm. Mike, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So we have, as I mentioned, so we used to start out with kickball. We've since replaced that with what we call T-ball minors. It's basically T-ball, but using plastic bats or foam rubber bats and balls. Okay. So very limited opportunity for kids to get hurt. The majority of the times the kids getting hurt have to do with swinging bats when they're not supposed to be, more so than actually during, you know, playing the game. So
right.
Starting out with the softer material is definitely a much better way than throwing them right into T-ball where they're swinging metal bats and using.
So wiffle ball has a good place here.
Wiffle balls, yep. There's tennis balls or like the small foam balls with the big the bats with the big barrels.
Okay, cool.
We want to make it easy, right? If it's hard at that level, you lose kids pretty quickly.
Right.
So we want to make it easy and fun.
Sure, absolutely. I'm sorry.
And so from after T-ball minors, we have T-ball. Which is, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. Then we move up to gold, which is our coach pitch division.
Right.
And that's on both the baseball and softball side. And that's the extent of our non-competitive division, right?
Right.
So the kids are still learning, they're learning the sport, learning the proper mechanics. And then we move into our competitive divisions, which, as you mentioned, start at green and then go up to blue, majors, majors plus on the baseball side. And softball has similar green, blue majors. And then for the high school kids, actually starting at eighth grade, 14 years old and up, we have our seniors division, which is like a Babe Ruth.
I gotcha. So, John, on the goal level for softball, the parents, can guys throw underhand or their moms throw underhand?
We want them to throw underhand. We want them to see the way that the pitch is actually coming in. So our entire program is tailored to grow with the players in softball. The pitching distance and even the size of the balls grow with the players. The rules also increase in complexity from adding the infield fly rule to allowing more advanced base running and base stealing. We try to coordinate our curriculum to lead into the two high school programs in our communities.
I gotcha. So, Mike, you were talking about the younger kids. Is that co-ed when they're young, or is, again, a separation from the boys and the girls?
No, absolutely co-ed. Okay. And in fact, on the baseball side, we have some girls that are playing at our highest Little League division, which is the Majors Plus division. I know for a fact we had at least one girl drafted in the Majors Plus division. I want to say there might have been a second.
Okay.
A lot of kids going through the draft, so my mind's a little... it's failing me now, but we encourage girls to play, you know, as much baseball as they'd like, and you know, equally on the softball side, we don't allow boys to play softball, but you know, the program is definitely strong.
Draft still takes place at MHS.
So the drafts don't take place at MHS because
that's the old days, guys. Forgive me.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of conflict for facilities to you know, around that time. So our competitive drafts start out at the cafeteria at St. Augustine's School,
okay.
And then we wrap them up at the Homics Community Room.
I gotcha. You know, the young guys and girls, as the case may be. It's kind of a blast. You know, I remember going back when, you know, my daughter and my son played. Maybe it's not the highest caliber ball, but it's got great fun for the kids, mm-hmm. having the parents and friends and their siblings all cheering. John, what do you make of the early days of getting involved with baseball, softball?
You got to learn to walk before you can run. And it's good to just get the kids out there and get them experienced on the field and with the equipment as they then progress towards more competitive aspects of the sports.
And, you know, given that it is that kind of, you know, family affair, I mean, it just breeds what we all hope as baseball and softball fans, that, you know, you get back to, you know, I'll reference maybe not one of Kevin Costner's best baseball movies, but, you know, it's for love of the game. And, you know, that's the kind of thing we're looking at.
Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite moments was a few years ago. The last year my daughter played in our league. My wife was at the time also on our board. And my son was an umpire. And so we had a moment all together at the All-Star game where I was overseeing and my wife was a commissioner and my son was an umpire and my daughter was a player.
Okay.
So it was all in the family.
It's a real family affair then, sure. Okay. I wanted to ask a little bit you know, softball, baseball, I think, what did you say, Mike, there's 1,400 kids involved?
A little bit shy of 1,400 kids.
Okay.
Yeah, we say 1,300 plus.
Okay. So that's a ton of kids. At the same time, you know, in the spring we've got lacrosse and we've got soccer going on. Mm-hmm. Is there competition to get kids to do this, or kids are playing all three? There must be a ton of carpooling going on.
So, you know, there's definitely competition in that the sports play in the same season. I like to think that, you know, we're flexible enough on Little League side where kids can play rec Little League and then also play, you know, rec lacrosse or soccer. I know soccer's primary season is in the fall, but like every sport, you know, most sports are slowly becoming year-round sports,
right?
Where they can be. So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily competition. I would say we probably have more competition for field space and field time and permit time than we do for actual players.
Okay.
You know, my youngest son plays flag football in the spring. He plays soccer. You know, he's a fan of all sports. And, you know, the best athletes are well-rounded athletes. So you like to see kids play.
I mean,
sports.
That's good to hear, because I know there's been over the course of the years a lot of people, you know, talking about, well, my kid's going to be a basketball player, or he's going to be a soccer player. And, you know, specializing at an early age, as you know, you want to have well-rounded athletes. And, you know, again, how many playing for the Yankees and the Mets? You know, so let's have fun and build up the various muscles and just have a good time across the thing. Mike, you're just talking about, you know, competition for fields. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of fields involved, and I probably need for more. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go through a little scorecard here. Bellows, Rhinek, Mamaroneck High School, Lorenzen, Florence Park, Central School, Flint Park, Pinebrook Park, Murray Avenue School. Forgive me if I've missed any. I would imagine you've got those and many others that you got to look to.
Yeah, so one minor correction, Florence Park. So Florence Park, we don't use.
Okay.
You know, some coaches may bring a few kids there and run like a little impromptu practice.
We practiced there back in the day.
I'm gonna cover my ears. So we don't, you know, we have a great relationship with the Village of Larchmont, Village of Mamaroneck school districts, both Rhinek and Mamaroneck, and we like to keep that relationship going strong, right? We as a league, we don't own any fields, you know, which is unlike a lot of other local little leagues. They own their own property. They have their own fields.
Right.
We're completely beholden to the municipalities and the school district. And so we need to make sure that that relationship stays that way. So we go on fields that we permit. We try to stay off fields that we don't permit. And if you know, the Village of Mamaroneck says don't play on Florence or Warren Park, you know, we're going to abide by that.
And John, there's some activity. I think we were talking a little bit before we get started here. Guys down in the Bronx, maybe some fields in New Rochelle as well that are in the mix.
We take advantage of any field space or gym space that we could find. And so our travel program has used space down in the Bronx. And our softball program has borrowed space in Rye. Any patch of grass, any gym space that we can get our hands on.
And that's communal, so the other municipalities can also borrow Mamaroneck, as the case might be, if needed.
If we have leftover space, more likely we've got to squeeze them in.
Okay, fair enough. As I drive by on Boston Post Road, across the street from Toy Box, Getz Field's been there forever. My kids played there. I see they've been re-sodding the area around the pitcher's mound, Mike. Mm-hmm. Are we taking a season off there, or you hope to play, or what's going on?
So we've planned to not use it this year.
Okay.
I know in speaking with Jeff, who is the parks foreman for the village, he seemed optimistic that we'd be able to get on there at some point this year. We've been offered Gronberg, which is directly across
right.
the patch of grass
sure.
from it's a softball
yep.
field.
Yep.
Last summer and fall, we purchased a portable mound, and we were able to play some baseball on Lanza, which was great.
Oh,
for
really?
Our travel
okay,
program.
Cool. Nice.
Under the lights, we're going to be moving that mound to Gronberg. Jeff and his team are going to be putting up a fence, and so we'll effectively use Gronberg in the same capacity we would use Getz. Ideally, we'll be able to play on. It'll be playable, and the grass will have grown and rooted enough to where we can play our All-Star game on it,
okay.
which is Memorial
okay.
Day every year.
Okay.
But that's I think wishful thinking at this point, and hopefully we can make it happen.
Again, in walking by there the last couple of years, I saw some kid, and I didn't see who he was or his number or whatever, but he was smacking out a bunch of home runs. My question to you is, has anybody hit one into the dog park? And if you do, is it like a grand slam? Get extra runs for that?
So, I mean, there were countless jokes made on the board at meetings when the dog park went
okay.
up. I do believe, I haven't witnessed it, but I do believe there has been at least one occasion where somebody put the ball into the dog park.
Okay.
It's quite a feat, but
yeah.
Given that we do our divisions based on grade as well as age,
right.
you know, there's going to be some kids that are, you know, a little big for the field, but, you know, it all evens itself out from a competitive perspective.
Yeah, when my son got older, they were playing, you know, they were in the majors, and they were playing at Central School,
mm-hmm.
and it was quite risky to park your car right behind there, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, if your kid hit a home run, yeah, who needs a new windshield, right? It's okay.
Right.
I get you. All right. I know that in some of the other little leagues, kids, they play for the Yankees or the Mets or Cardinals or the Dodgers. Here it's Pizza Gourmet, Gelb Orthodontics, Mamaroneck PBA, DIY Slime, and Duck Donuts. Going back to my days with the Little League, it's 25 years. LMLL has always had a local flair. John, why is it important for local businesses to be involved?
So we involve the entire community in our league. Our umpires are not professionals in the rec program. They're mostly high school students, which makes it a lot harder for the coaches to argue with them, being their neighbors' sons and daughters. We also want local businesses invested, not only financially in the league. We encourage teams to patronize their sponsors for donuts or pizza. Maybe not the gift shop at the nursing home so much, or
okay.
the funeral home.
Okay.
And businesses all around town display the plaques that we send them with the team pictures. In fact, my firm used to sponsor my team when I coached, and every day I walk by the 2018 championship trophy in my office.
Very nice. Very nice. John, again, you know, you guys are on the board, but this league doesn't work without volunteers. If you can speak to the number of folks you have and some of the things they do.
Well, we got a lot of people on the board. Here's the deal, though. Like, Mike here works his tail off, as do most of our volunteers. But regardless of title, it's all about taking initiative and getting things done. Our whole league is volunteers who simply want to give back to the community and foster the growth of our children. I personally like to think of myself just as a figurehead. We're part of a team of volunteers. I have great people working with me on the softball side of LMLL. Our league also can't work without our coach volunteers. We're always looking for new people to help on the field and off. We try to mix our institutional knowledge with new ideas.
I gotcha. So, as season's about to get underway, we've had a little bit of rain. Mike, do you need guys ready as get those diamond dry bags going?
So there will be a lot of diamond dry spread on fields in the next coming days. So our opening day was technically on Monday, but we haven't played a game yet, today being Wednesday, and looking like we're probably going to get started this weekend, unless the rain for some reason lets up. In order to get this season underway, the planning really, really starts at our first meeting of the year, which is in September. That's kind of when we kick things off. At that point, we pull the board for board members that are going to be rolling off, right? We like to ask for a 2 to 3 year commitment when right. you join the board, and you know the level of commitment is whatever you can make it, right? But we don't want somebody just to join the board and just kind of sit there and so that they can maybe get their kid on a team that they want or something like that.
Sure.
You know, we want folks to join the board that are going to be invested, and so we'll pull folks at that meeting, figure out who's going to be staying and who's going to be departing, and then. We'll reach out to anybody from past seasons that might have expressed interest or anybody that existing board members may have heard, you know, throughout the previous year that might be interested. And we would do, you know, our interviews and ultimately vote on adding new board members that early. Once we get into the kind of the meat of things, when we're trying to lay out the commissioners and identify like who's going to be the commissioner for each of the different leagues and assistant commissioners, if we determine that there's some gap or shortage of volunteers, we'll then do a second round and see if we can convince any other folks or get any other additional folks on board to help.
All right. Well, again, it's great that people get involved and. You know, if you got to twist a couple arms along the way, that kind of works too. Mike, you'd mentioned All Star, and maybe something's going to happen that gets John. What's the situation? Memorial Day has always been a big time around this place.
Yep, our All Star games take place all day Memorial Day at virtually all the fields where we play. Personally, it's my very favorite day on our LMLL calendar, from the national anthems. To high-level play, to everyone cheering each other on, to announcers and walk-up music. A lot of work goes into it, but it's well worth it. In fact, you should come down and try and broadcast some of our games.
Okay. So we have walk-up music now?
We have walk-up music, and we have the national anthems and various different versions. In fact, one of our board members plays the trumpet and used to play the national anthem to begin games in his division. Yeah,
that's cool. So that's Memorial Day. The season, if memory serves, kind of gets through like early to mid-June, Mike, and playoffs. Am I right with the calendar?
Yeah. So our playoffs usually start the beginning of June, right? Our season typically tends to coincide with school, right? Once school ends, a lot of people are going away
sure.
on vacation, and
right.
so you tend to lose a lot of players. So we try to closely mirror the school calendar, even from the beginning, right? We plan our tryouts and drafts and the beginning of the season around when the February break is and when spring break is. This way, you know, we can make sure we get. The right number of weeks in, we can give the kids as much baseball and softball as possible. But playoffs typically start beginning of June, and we'll run through mid second, third week of June.
I gotcha. I'm gonna get into, and I'm testing the memory here, travel teams, guys, Little League World Series type of things. Forgive me, what is it, you guys playing District 18?
So it's not District 18, different redistricting.
Okay.
We do play within the district tournaments. In fact, the softball side has regularly competed in the Little League World Series tournament, that which ends up on ESPN.
Right,
we haven't yet made it to television, although I'll tell you that just a few years ago, our oldest girls were the runner-up New York State champions.
Wow, congrats.
So that was pretty nice. On the softball side, we have travel teams at several ages in the spring, summer, and fall. We have workouts during the winter. Our league's primary focus is on the rec season and the balance between competition and the life lessons that sports teach. Our travel program tips the scales more towards competition.
I gotcha. And what about the boys?
Yeah, and on the baseball side, so historically, so before my time on the board, we did used to participate in Little League World Series, okay. the district tournaments.
Okay.
There was something had happened along the way before I had joined the board. I've heard a couple of different takes on it.
Still
trying to piece it all together.
Okay.
So we haven't entered teams on the boys' side in a while. I think a lot of it had to do with interest in travel and the desire to play as many games as possible.
Right.
Given the popularity in travel, though, Little League, the district, and national have kind of rewritten some of the requirements and the guidelines that are definitely more friendly to supporting a travel program as well as entering a team in. So we're looking at putting boys teams back in. I'm hoping, although I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen this year, but it will definitely happen next year, trying to get kids back in. I think we're going to start at the younger age, which would be the 10U age.
Okay.
Just to kind of get a feel for it. And then if that's successful, we'll look to implement that at the older ages as well.
I gotcha. So the travel programs, it's kind of a June into maybe early August thing. And there's lots of local games and, you know, maybe up by Bedford and the like, at least back in the day when I was coaching, we were always driving up on 684. Can you guys talk a little bit about those seasons and, you know, again, it's a commitment for the players and their parents.
Yeah, so from the baseball side, so we play travel. Certain ages will play travel in the spring. We don't have spring travel for the older kids. Once school ball starts happening, a lot of our travel players are gonna be trying out for, and you know, some are gonna make their school teams, and so that along with rec presents a lot of scheduling difficulty. So the older kids, we don't have spring travel, but we do have summer and fall for them. For some of the younger age groups, we also have spring travel that coincides with the rec season. But in spring, rec is priority, right? Summer is the big season for travel. Fall is kind of like a gravy season.
Right.
But in spring, rec takes priority over everything else. Our travel games are scheduled Sunday afternoons after 2 o'clock so that there's no conflict with the rec games, and so that our travel coaches can plan out like their pitching
sure.
a little bit better, and we want to maintain a healthy balance of arm use
right.
for rec players as well as travel players. So we've kind of we've set the league up to be able to support that.
I gotcha. How about on the softball side, John?
Yeah, on the softball side, actually the fall is our biggest travel season. A lot of people in our community go away for the summer. And they're back in the fall and raring to go, and that's really our biggest time.
Okay.
Our biggest challenge there is the daylight fading quickly.
That's true. Yeah. What about some of if you guys talk about some of the trips? Maybe I think I saw on the baseball side, Mike, that I think a 12U team went to Cooperstown last year.
Yeah. So we do. Each age has a certain budget allotment for tournaments. So, the black teams, we have different color designations for the different teams, with the black teams, which would historically be like the A teams, would have travel budget. You know, their fees would be a little bit higher, and that would factor in
sure.
costs for traveling to tournaments. There are a plethora of like local tournaments within like an hour drive.
Right.
There are some regional ones, maybe up in Connecticut or out in
yep.
Jersey, a little bit farther than that. Our 12U team historically has been the Cooperstown team.
Okay.
So every year the 12U team They put a lot of work in. They train. They do some fundraising because it's definitely not a cheap tournament. Not as cheap as a local one. But historically, that team is the one that goes to Cooperstown.
I gotcha. And the girls are on the move too, John?
We don't go quite as far, but we regularly travel throughout Westchester and Long Island and Connecticut.
Okay, good. Guys, we're getting to the end here, so I just wanted to ask you what you think about your, you know, experience with Little League and Larchmont Merrick Little League in particular. Over the years, your favorite moments so far, John, you're up first.
So our two school districts, Maranek and Rhinek, comprise our Little League. And each year those two high school softball teams play against each other and they take a picture at the end of the game. Last year there were about 30 players in the picture, and I had coached about 25 of them.
Wow, good for you, man.
You know, not that that's why they made the varsity softball teams.
Okay.
And so it always makes me think as I'm now a retired coach, of one of my favorite memes that I've seen is a picture of a guy with a baseball with a bat on his shoulder, that is, and sad body language. And the wording is, one day you'll wake up and there won't be anyone left to take to practice. Wow. You know, and that just tears me up just thinking about it, you know. And I try and impress on our volunteers that what we, the adults, do for this makes a difference to the kids, but it can really make a big difference to us and touch us that much as well.
I gotcha. Mike, what are some of your takeaways?
Yeah, so I have to say two of my most exciting moments I was lucky enough to have a great group of kids for my oldest son when he was in Green, and we won a championship, and that was super exciting. Fast forward a couple of years with my middle son, we were able to do the same thing, but in blue. I know John had mentioned this before, the plaque in his office for his team. My son, he would get super excited to see this. We played for Sal's Pizza that year.
Nice.
And you know, they were awesome. We had an end of the year party.
Good rewards there. Maybe that's why you guys are so good.
Great rewards. We had an end of the year party. They sent over a bunch of pies, no charge. It was awesome. I actually missed the championship game. I was traveling on a business trip, and so that was definitely disappointing. But I would say, you know, those are two very specific family, you know, family focused events. But I think just in general, the number of kids that I've coached over the years that still call me coach when they see me.
Nice. Yep.
I mean, that's
cool.
You can't pay for that kind of feeling, right? Like it's super exciting.
Especially if you don't even quite remember the player,
mm-hmm.
right? There's something to that that's a little funky. But people would come up to me, and I'm not good with names anyway. But I apparently had made some impression on them that they remembered me, and sometimes I couldn't place which team, you know, they had been on.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Expectations, hopes for the 24 season, batter up, John.
Well, a lot of factors hurt our registration in recent years, from COVID to competition from other sports. Mm-hmm. But we're really back really to full strength after a few slow seasons. Softball is back to three competitive divisions after a few years of smaller registration. We're also bringing back our alumni to help coach our youngest players and our travel teams. And so the future looks bright.
Cool. Mike, last looks for you.
Yeah, I mean, similar feelings towards John. As John, weather has been a challenge the last couple of years, and so definitely hopeful that we can get the season underway sooner rather than later, and hopefully the weather cooperates. I know last fall, from a travel perspective, was crazy. I think it rained something like 14 of 18 weekends, and I mean, so weather is definitely a challenge, but, you know, hoping that we have an exciting, fun season. You know, my goal, and I say this in front of every coach in the coaches' meetings, the preseason meetings, I have two goals for the season. One is that the kids have fun, and two is that they sign up to play again next year. Right? That's ultimately what we're trying to do here. Winning is great, but it's maybe third on the list.
Okay, some good stuff, gentlemen. I just wanted to say thanks again to Mike Dugan, president of LMLL. and John Leifert, who is the VP of softball, for spending some time with us on LMC Cast Community Profile. Mike, thank you.
No, thank you for having us.
And John, I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. I hope LMLL has a terrific season and, as Mike said, some good weather. For more information about Larchmont Mamaroneck Little League, or if you're interested in making a donation, check out lmlittleleague.org and enjoy yourself. Stop by and check out some of the games. They're a lot of fun. This concludes this episode of LMC Cast Community Profile. LMC Media is a nonprofit media center located in Mamaroneck. LMC Media's The Studio on the Avenue, where this podcast was recorded, is located in the heart of Mamaroneck at Mamaroneck Cinemas. Please visit lmcmedia.org /services/podcast to book your time in this state-of-the-art convenient location, which is walkable from the Metro North train station on American Avenue. You can also support this nonprofit media center at lmcmedia.org/donate. Till next time, this is Mike Reynolds for LMC Cast Community Profile. Bye.